We are in a teaching series called... You guys are good. What was taught last week? You guys remember the title of it? Making it real. Making it real, and we just really hit on the highlights of Jesus, yeah? Being the author and protector of our faith, being everything that we need, everything that we have. And then Craig equated us to dogs again, as he's so famous. You know, every speaker has a thing. Matt Coulter, who used to speak here, always said something about circumcision every time he taught. Literally every time. You can go back and listen to the years that he taught, and it was in every sermon. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, man, but it's amazing. And then Craig, every time he teaches, he talks about dogs. Every time I teach, I just pace back and forth. I probably have catchphrases too. What do I talk about a lot? What?
Sex?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. I've already taught sex. Goodness sakes. Okay, well, like I said, every speaker has their own thing, right? Yeah. So we're in a teaching series called Church DNA, and we're in Colossians. How many of you have been reading it? That's awesome. Keep reading it. It's four chapters. It's really packed full of really dense, awesome things. So last week, Craig taught on making it real. And this week, I get to teach on keeping it real. Because a lot of times what happens in our Christian faith is we get all gung-ho and we say yes to Jesus, and some things start happening in our world, Jesus things, good Jesus things, and we start seeing some movement, and we start seeing some really exciting things happen in our world. And then all of a sudden, some of the defaults that we had, right? The chain to the stake dog analogy? We get unchained and we just sit like we're not, and we don't go too far from that stake at all. We just go to the boundaries, and sometimes we stay there. And we allow old things to kind of get in and blend with our Christian faith, right? Things that somehow we justify or make sense of. And then all of a sudden, those become the benchmark for our faith. Those become what we do to make God happy, right? What kind of things are those in your world? Some of us, probably today, the bags came by you, and you thought, this will get me in good standing with God if I drop a little cheddar in there, right? That's money, okay? Coin, dollar bills, right? Some of you set your alarms so you could wake up and be here this morning because you thought, I got to get to church to make God happy, yeah? Is this making sense? What other things in your world does this happen in? This is where you teach me. It doesn't? This is not applicable? How many of you have come maybe and still own in your faith walk things that you will or will not eat? You don't have to raise your hand. Things that you will or will not drink. Some of you have come from other denominations. Some of you have come from denominations that really practice heavy on, like, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but like Catholics, they have these days, Monday, Thursday, they have days where they can only eat fish, they have days where they have to do these things. Holidays, Christmas, right? Christmas and Easter, a lot of us, we call them creasters. They're people that don't come to church all year round except for Christmas and Easter. Creaster people, right? And they do it because their wife or husband guilts them into it. I've let you skip 350 days of the year not going to church, or 349 days. These 2 days, I'm terrible with math. 348. 365, right? 365 years. My wife's smiling ear to ear because every time anything has to do with numbers, I'm hosed, right? I don't know it. So Christer people, and they come and they kind of do their due diligence to God, right? What else in your world? Where does this happen with you? Is anybody brave enough to speak up? Is there any crazy people that are willing to say where it happens? What's that? Being nice to your annoying coworkers because you're supposed to. You can do that without a change of heart. Uh-oh. Hi. I love you. Is there anything I can get you? You can do that without a change of heart. What else? Doing good deeds. Yes. Yes. You know, absolutely, man. You get that. You get good at getting flexible, right? But it's for Jesus. You did something good, right? Often in our worlds, and this is what Paul is addressing, is these things happen and they creep in so fast and they creep in and they become the benchmark by which we judge ourselves and we judge our devotion to God, and it becomes the benchmark of other people around us. Because if they don't do what we do, holy crap, you're going to hell, man. Right? You don't love Jesus as much as I love Jesus. And these things just slowly become the it instead of this Jesus. The only thing that matters in this equation. So Paul addresses this. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. If any of you have a Bible, please open it right now and follow along. We're in Colossians 2, okay? We're in Colossians 2, and we're going to start in verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, man, there are Bibles and women. There are Bibles out on the front table. And we want to just give you one. Take it home. It's yours. Okay? Why are you laughing, Coulter? What is your problem? Are you and my wife making fun of me? Get out. Get out. Okay. We want to give you a Bible. If you're too ashamed to get up and walk to the back and get a Bible, there are Bible apps. Bible Gateway is an awesome one. And YouVersion is another awesome one. They're free. You can download them in a snap. Follow along. Here it goes. It says this. So don't, Paul is telling the Colossians people, the church in Colossae, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. Now, if there's one thing that Jews were good at, it was having parties and holy days and things to remember what God had did for them, right? So all of these things had a purpose and a godly base. But we go on. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Get this. Here we go. He grounds it here. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints, ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. We're going to stop there. We address these things kind of, right? In the opening statements. We address these holidays. If you don't celebrate Christmas like I celebrate Christmas, we get into kind of holy wars. You have a Christmas tree? Are you kidding me? I question your faith. You decorate the outside of your house with Santa Claus and not Jesus? I question your faith. You don't fast? I question your faith. Oh, you don't read the Bible every day like I read? I question your faith. You don't pray as much as I do? I question your faith. You don't celebrate like I celebrate. You don't worship like I worship. I question your faith. And then all of a sudden we end up with all these crazy different denominations and 40 plus churches in Laramie because we do this, right? We got all these flavors, and I'm not saying they're bad, but I'm saying we get all these different flavors and we go with which one we say yes to, yeah? That aligns with us. I stand with them. And we start making church less about Jesus and more about us and the things that we stand for. And it's easy to get off, and it's easy to look at this and not really understand what's going on because we don't have that rich Jewish culture with here. How many of you are Jewish? Last time I asked this question, one person actually raised their hand. Okay? And then I made a statement about Jew people, which I have zero, there's nothing within my mouth or my throat that catches things before they come out. I don't have that sweet thing. But we don't have really this rich culture, and some of you are from different cultures, and some of you actually do celebrate, and some of you actually come out of different other denominations, and you do celebrate differently, and you continue to hold to those things. But those things become more about those things and less about Jesus. It happened to me. The first time I really started messing with fasting for an elongated period of time, I was a spiritual giant. Still am, okay? The only part that's true about that is the giant part, okay? I'm a giant. So I said to myself, we were just fresh into ministry here, and we went back for Christmas with my parents. And I said, I'm going to fast over Christmas. I don't care that there's snacks that only get made at that time of year. I don't care. I don't care that delicious food's going to be made. I don't care. I don't care. And not only did I fast from food, I said media as well. I can't watch movies with my family because I'm spiritual. I can't go to the movies with my family because I'm spiritual. And these are like normal holiday things, right? I took myself out of that equation and placed this super spiritual thing on it. And it sounded really good. It sounded really pious. It sounded really awesome until I started doing it and I hated life. My family hated my life. They were begrudgingly being nice to me, like Lucas had said. But I was a troll, I was angry, and it was all for Jesus, right? Oh, my devotion. You don't understand, Dad. Why'd you have to do it over Christmas, son? Couldn't you have done it the week after? You wouldn't understand. When Jesus speaks, you listen. This is the crap that came out of my mouth. Not that that's untrue, not that when Jesus speaks, you should listen and you should move. This had nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with me and my own devotion, my own pious, what I thought I needed to do for Jesus, because it was going to get me somewhere with Jesus. It was going to gain me favor with Jesus. It was going to make me super spiritual, right? And so I started imposing this on my family because I got finally tired of all the questions. Well, have you ever fasted? Well, maybe for like a day or two. Huh? Not seven, huh? Like it's a game, like it's some kind of, I can run faster than you. Competition, yeah. So it happens. It does happen. And Paul's addressing this, and he's not saying that these rituals are bad, and he's not saying that these things are not good. He's really judging this critical heart within people. What is it within you that makes this more important than Jesus? Because you're so worried about this holiday, you're so worried about food and drink, you're so worried about what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you look to everybody else and everything else, but Jesus is void of that. Jesus, there's no Jesus in it. I'm not hearing it because it's going to get you closer to Jesus. I'm hearing it because you need to celebrate like I celebrate and eat like I eat and drink like I drink. And Paul says, check yourself before you wreck yourself, okay? That's not good. Why are we looking to these things? Why aren't we going back to the source? Why aren't we going to Jesus? As Craig said, let me quote him directly. God, no matter how well or how little we know him, he said this last week, has the power that we need to bring us back from death to life. God has all the power. Yeah, but this new moon festival. No, God, that's because of God. Yeah, but I'm going to fast, and you should too. Well, why are you fasting? God tell you to do it? Why are you so into scripture reading? You know one thing that pissed me off lately? Dang it. You guys said sex is my thing. I think dropping non-church words. Well, let me rephrase that. You guys use them all week long, and you just don't use them on Sundays here, okay? Oh, yes, I do. Where was I even going with this? One of the things that pissed me off about the Bible app, YouVersion, is they did what every other app did. They started adding like trophies that they hand you out. You notice this? Does anybody read the Bible Version app? Trophies for as many days as you've read. And then you get streaks. Way to go! And it's like, it becomes this competition, and it's crazy because that starts driving the bus more so than your hunger for Jesus. How do I know this? Thaddeus, where are you, man? Are you here? Thaddeus, we have a friend. What was her streak on Snapchat? 535? This week? She does this to keep her streak up, but her streak's been going for years. And she has to keep up with it. She has to keep up with it. You don't want to lose that trophy that means zero. If they're sending you money, come on, let's Snapchat together, okay? But a little digital trophy? But it becomes more about that. It becomes more about keeping up your stats. It becomes more about a streak than it becomes about Jesus. And it's possible to read Scripture void of Jesus. You can read it and come away with nothing because you're just trying to get through it in a year. Oh, we got to catch up. We're 5 days behind. We've been doing this in our family, but we do it together as a family. And if we miss a day, we're literally like trying to catch up day by day because YouVersion sends out warnings. But it's crazy because all these things in life are becoming this way. Even in our spiritual realm, even in our spiritual world, and Paul's warning against this, don't do this. Don't become this. Don't make it about these things. Make it about Jesus. And we say, yeah, but these things, they're more important. He goes on to say this in verse 20. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following rules, the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. You mean when I go help someone move as a part of the church ministry, Jesus cannot be there. And that's not going to help me move 2 steps closer to Jesus. Yeah, that's true. If you're doing it solely for the moving. And I tell you what happens when you do that, because it's happened to me, is I get really angry when I move people out of my own spirit and my own flesh. Every move sucks that I've done that. And it happens. And it will happen again. I shouldn't have to move your crap. It's covered in cat hair. I hate cats. The strongest point I've had all morning, huh? I shouldn't have to do that. And then all of a sudden it becomes about me. But hey, you know what? I'm sweating it off for these people for Jesus. And I church it up. And I can do an entire move just thinking about my own. Myself and not that other person, and it becomes miserable. And then I invite people into it. Oh, you should do this. It's a blast. Which, done in the right context with Jesus as the foundation, is 100% true. So I have a challenge, and you're probably not going to get this challenge anywhere else from any other pastor in town. I want you to think of the things in your world right now that you do to gain God's favor, right? Or that you impose on other people because they need to be just like you to gain God's favor. Think about these things. I want you to make a mental list right now. If you're reading Scripture solely for the purpose of just burning through it and missing Jesus in it, put that in there. If you're doing things to gain God's favor, like giving, I want you to put that in there. If you're doing things like helping other people or begrudgingly being nice to them, I want you to put that in there. Okay? This popped into my head. I recently went through, I think I've talked about it before, as the Dark Night of the Soul just a couple months prior. And it was not fun, and I think still I can go back into that right away. But I remembered in my devotional classics, which is written by Richard Foster and some other brilliant people, it's a big collection of writings from people of yesteryear. I don't think many of them are living that actually contributed to these writings. And so one of the writings that they went through was The Dark Night of the Soul, but here was the suggested exercise that caught me when I read it 10 years ago, and it caught me again today as I got up, and I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. But it says this. This was the third suggested exercise. Abandon your spiritual disciplines for 1 week. These things that you've compiled in your head, the things that you do that are void of Jesus, the things that you do that have no place with Jesus in them, but they sound kind of Jesus-y. The things that you impose on other people. Abandon your spiritual discipline for 1 week. While this may seem like a radical exercise, it may serve to free you from several hidden demons, such as the performance trap that we just talked about, pride in your spiritual works, which we talked about, religious addiction. Did you know that's a thing? That's crazy, huh? And the judging of those who do less than you. Use the time and relax to enjoy God. Who's with me? This is a spread your legs moment, okay? Not in a sexual way, but in a you might get booted really hard, okay? Who's with me? Can we let God speak into this? Can we just hands off reading scripture for one, if that's one of your things? Hands off prayer, hands off, you know, holidays come around every once in a while, but this is a time to just hands off and reflect. Why is this important if Jesus really isn't in it and it's just more of me than Jesus at this point? Will you do that this week? Does this sound like heresy? It's really quiet out there. Anyone else? I saw a timid hand in the front. Two, three, four people, five. Okay, that's all we need. Where two or three are gathered in his name, things are going to happen, right? Abandon these spiritual things. Abandon these things that you find so essential to your faith right now, that are void of Jesus. Look, can I say that? And just enjoy God. I think what you're going to find is God's not going to leave you alone. You're going to find God not because of those things. You're going to find God in the absence of those things, because God can speak to you without those things. The Spirit can move without these things. That's not saying just hands off your entire life and there's no reason to read, there's no reason to pray, there's no reason to... There is reason. There are scriptural foundations to these things. But these things that are void of Jesus in your world, that you've over-spiritualized and made them the it over Jesus, abandon them this week. And then let's talk next week. Or even through the week. If you want to tell me what you've abandoned, why don't you email me, adam@whitewaterchristian.com. And I will pray over these things. And if you don't email, like Matt Coulter apparently, I found out this week that email's passé. Ugh, Coulter. I found out that email's passé. Text me. You got a pen and paper right now? I'm going to drop my digits. You ready? You guys ready? Anybody that needs them? 307-1900. You're going to be charged for this call. Actually, 307-761-3077. 761-3077. Text me these things. And they're not for me to be like, oh, these people really are jacked up. They're for me to pray over and the leadership to pray over. I'll shop them out to our leadership. And we'll be praying over you, not over names, not by name, but over the situations. What are you giving up? What do you need to give up in your world to actually see Jesus rightly in these things? Because if Jesus isn't at the helm of every piece of your life, if he isn't the core of what comes out of you, whatever that is worthless. You know that? It's completely worthless. Your begrudging kindness to people, I hate to say it, is worthless. There's a whole love chapter in Corinthians that talks about if I do all of these things and have not loved at the core of it, I've done absolutely nothing. So text me these things, email me these things, let me pray over these things with you, for you. And together we're going to move forward. Together we're going to kick this stuff. Together things aren't going to become about what we can touch, taste, or see, or holidays, or how we worship, or you're better than I am at prayer, or anything like that. It's going to become about Jesus. And that purity is what's going to spark the revolution here. When you get the real thing, when you get the pure thing, man, Laramie is going to just change forever. You are going to change forever. Whitewater is going to change forever. So God, help us abandon our spiritual disciplines that have become void of you, that we say are full of you, but in reality we know better. Help us to be hands-off this week, that we can actually hear from you. God, these things are scary to think about stopping prayer or scripture reading or our judgment of others that don't do those things either. God, it's scary to think of that. But I know something. I know that you will be found in these things, and I just pray that you impress that on our hearts this morning. I pray that you help us see you beyond what we've made this spiritual life. God, may you be the foundation of everything that comes out of us. May you be that truth. May you be that peace. May you be that love. May you be that kindness. May you be those things. And all of those things flow out of you instead of us having to manufacture some cheap version. God, I pray for the enjoyment factor of you this week, for all of us. As we stop these things, and just look to you. Just to hear from you, God, where are you at in these things? And is it okay for me to keep doing some of these things? And if not, God, I pray for love that births obedience. To stop. And if so, I pray for love that continues the obedience, to just continue in these things that we do find you and that are changing our world and that are making a difference. God, let us see this DNA that's embedded so deeply within your spirit that lives in us that claim Jesus. This DNA that's been around since the beginning of time, this DNA that's been around since our conception. And help us live out of that instead of anything else. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Text me, email me. I want to pray over these things with you, for you. The leadership wants to pray over these things with you and for you, because it's going to be a struggle. It'll be interesting decompressing with the leadership to find out the things that they had to give up just to enjoy God this week. It'll be interesting to hear that. It'll be interesting to hear from you as well, so... much love, grace, and peace.